turn to somebody beside him and say, Happy Father's Day. Doesn't matter what who they are. Happy Father's Day, Linda. Title of our message is Being Real Men. Being Real Men. Just that thought of that, if I say, be a real man, and some of you might have heard this from your father, or you might have had to get this idea, being a real, what does being a real man look like? What does that look like? I guess it's according to what it is that your standard that you're living by. Does that make any sense? Being a real man, where do we get our example of being a real man? Is it our sports heroes? Lord help us if it is, right? They can't seem to get anything right nowadays. Is it our the people that serve our country? There's a lot of great guys out there that we don't even think about that are making rounds in countries right now to protect us. We don't even hardly consider it. Is that being a real man? Where is it that we find? Where are the men that will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, like in Joshua? You know, we all have, for those of us that have children, and believe it or not, I do have a couple that I think Sierra's coming in after services. Dusty's on call this week, so he don't get to come till next week. But those of us that have children, do you remember when your children were born? It's one of them greatest moments, or I hope it was for you, Dad. And I mean, the power of the Lord, and you're just like, I've never cried and laughed so hard at the same time. You know, it's one of those moments. But then you realize when you're holding these little ones, right, it's like, wait a minute, there's no owner's manual here, right? There's no owner's manual. It's like, in fact, sometimes after a couple years, you say, mine's broken. I need to get, something's happened. I need to take it back and see if I can get it fixed. Or no, you see, there's no owner's manual on how to be a real man in the world. But I want you to know this morning, there is a manual. There is an instruction book. It's called the Word of God. Guys, we don't like to put things together with the instructions, do we? We like to show that we're men. We can put things in. We don't need them instructions. We look at it. I like to tell Sandy it's when I'm getting my directions. We don't want to stop getting directions. You got GPS and all that. Now it kind of helped us. But you used to be, I said, I feel like it's just right over there. How many times have I said that? That's how men are. We feel like we can do it. We can put that thing together. You get those big shelves, right, and you look at them. You say, man, that's exactly what I need. It comes in this little box. Weighs 100 pounds. You dump it all out, and it's like, okay. And you try to put it together without opening the instruction manual, right? And you finally get to your wits end, and you say, where's those instructions at? Listen, guys, this is our instruction manual this morning on how to be a real man. A real man is a God man, okay? And I want us to look at Psalms 128 just for a few moments this morning. And I need to give you the context because we're in Psalms in our Sunday school. I'm actually preaching through the Psalms on Wednesday nights. And so we need to understand the context. The Psalms are songs. We realize that this would be like their hymnal. And in these, if you'll look and you'll start seeing from Psalms 120 over to 134, they're called songs of ascents. And what does that mean? Three times a year, Jewish families would go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, and Passover. That would be the three times every year that if you were a Jewish family that you would have, if you knew that you were going at this allotted time, you were going to Jerusalem, and on that, and they had these songs that they sang on their way up to Jerusalem. And so it became this way of teaching. It became this way of the children learning from hearing the song. Isn't it amazing how many songs that you remember? You can't remember your teacher's name or something, but you can remember a little song that you learned in kindergarten. It's amazing how songs help us to learn things. So these were songs of the family as they went up, as they made these pilgrimages to Jerusalem, that they would sing together, and it would help dads, it would help children, it would help moms, it would help them to understand part of the reason why they're going, part of the reason why they were together. And everybody knows what those road trips are like, right? You're getting ready to go on one. We never forget them a lot of times, do we, that we go on these road trips. And so I could tell you some really good ones, but I won't for sake of time. When the kids are little and they're always fighting, right? I'll never forget. I have to tell you one. I said I wouldn't, but I can't remember. I forgot. I'm glad Dusty's not here. We were on 95 going down to Florida, and Dusty and Sierra, about 5 years apart, they fought all the time, you know. They're best friends now. So you have hope if they're that far. There is a God. Listen, I told him, I said, son, if you keep picking on your sister, I'm going to pull over on the side of the road and get a switch and wear you out. Guess what? He tried that. And guess what I did? He never forgets that switching he got on 95, the Intercoastal Highway. But nowadays, they'd say that I was a mean dad, wouldn't he? Say I was an abusive dad. You know what he tells me? Thank you. He tells me thank you now as a man. Thank you, Dad, for loving me enough to discipline me. Thank you. Discipline, listen, some of us, we need to take a little bit of discipline to their blessed assurance is all the problem is. In our world that says that it's not right, my scripture, my manual, my instruction book says to spare the rod, not spoil the child, hateth the child. Do we hate our children? No. So we love them and our discipline. So our manual, being a real man, we need to turn to the Word of God. It's our instruction book. So as we look at Psalms 128, it actually goes together as a duet with Psalms 127, where it's talking about the man and the children are a heritage to the Lord. In 127:3, behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children in one's youth. It says, happy is the man who his quiver is full of them. So it's like arrows that we send out, that these children are a blessing from the Lord, a heritage from the Lord. And so this family life flows into Psalms 128. And as we look at it today, it's talking about being a real man. I think on Father's Day today that we can draw some strength, that we can draw some encouragement, that we can see through the Scriptures what it means to be a godly man. Listen, Dad, I challenge you. I was so blessed to see y'all fill up the front. Thank you for that. Thank you for being faithful and being at church in God's house on Father's Day. Thank you. That's a great testimony. If I can challenge you, I'm telling you, be a real man, be a God man this morning. Be a God man. Why? It's the only thing that's going to change our families. It's the only thing that's going to change our nation. It's for men to find their rightful place in the homes. And so when we get to Psalms 128, I want us to look at this, being a real man. And I want us to look firstly at, let's read this. Let's stand on our feet and reverence God's Word. And let's read Psalms 128 this morning. The Word of God says this, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hand, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, for a few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for the fathers that are represented in this room. Thank you for you being our greatest Father. Thank you that you didn't leave us without a manual, that you didn't leave us without instructions, but you gave us your Word. May your Word go forth. God, hide me behind the cross for your glory. In Christ's name and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So I want us to think about this principle of being a real man. And first you'll see on the screen, fathers, have a faithful walk. Have a faithful walk. Be a man of faith or have a faithful walk. Listen to what it says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. I like that. You see that word blessed and you hear, see happy. And so we're seeing instruction on how to be a blessed person. How to have happiness in this journey that we call life that many times does not have a lot of happiness. How is it that as a real man we can find this happiness? We see that fathers have that faithful walk. How do we do that? First, trust the Lord in your walk. Look what it says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. I love this psalm because it starts with a blessing and it ends in a prayer. And we'll see that. But I want you to see it says everyone to begin with, but we see that it's focusing as we get on down. And because it's Father's Day, it's talking about the man because it talks about the wife, talks about his children, these kind of things. And so it's focusing on the dads this morning. That's what we're going to look at. And what does it say? He fears the Lord. What does that mean? Oh, I'm scared to death of God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. To have this fear, healthy fear. It's a reverence of God. Do we really, listen, do we really have a reverence of God this morning as men? Real men reverence Him. They fear Him. Why? He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is our General. He is in a command of everything in our lives. And so you remember having a godly respect. I remember my dad. He's gone to be with the Lord. And I tell you, he didn't get saved till late in life. And you know that story. You've heard me rehearse that. But I remember him. He was fearless. And I remember that. Listen, I didn't want to disappoint him. Why? Because I knew he never spanked me but maybe three times. You could count on one hand because his dad beat him. That was it. His dad really gave him beatings. And my mama told me that after Papa passed away, that Dad, he was rough on Dad. And so he didn't want to whoop us because he remembered what that was. But I remember all three of them. Now, Mama, she wore us out every day. She made up what Daddy didn't, okay? I hear you. I know you're listening, Mom. I love you, okay? She listens to all my sermons. She's a godly, good woman. I needed more, to be honest with you. I'm so thankful that she loved me enough to discipline me. But I remember that I feared him. Why did I fear him? I had a reverence for him. Today, we've lost the reverence of him. We want to be just our pals, our friends. We're afraid that they ain't going to like us. Come on, that's what the world teaches you. We want them to be their best friend and all. And Dad, there's nothing wrong with taking them and doing things and teaching them, but you are not their best friend. You are Dad. You're their father. You are to teach them the things of God. Trust the Lord in your walk. He fears the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of all wisdom. To be a wise man, we fear Him. We reverence Him. It sets the pattern that a husband and a father should set before his family. That you reverence God in everything. You know, it's pretty easy to reverence God this morning, is it? We're going to church and so. But what about at home when we get back home? What about through the week as we go to work? What about as we're teaching our children throughout the day and throughout the week? Do we reverence God? It's that pattern. You know what? We're supposed to be worshipers. You say, what do you mean? Worshipers of the Almighty God. To reverence Him for who He is. Each day that He wakes you up in the morning, He's give you that day. He's give you another day. We should never let a day go by that we don't thank Him for the opportunity and the privilege to be a child of God first, a husband, a father. We should thank Him for that. It flows 127 with these kids and this family life. It flows right into 128 that making God the center of your home is the greatest thing that we can do. We should be worshipers. The thing most needed for us to be a father that the Lord wants is a personal walk with the Almighty God. The kids should see that walk that you have with the Lord. Not a perfect dad. Far from it. We can't reach perfection until we reach to heaven. But they see this man that strives to have that relationship with God. That he realizes that his strength comes from the Lord. And I know that we buy in, and there's a lot of guys here, and we're providers, and we are to provide and protect. We buy in, and that's what God's called us to do. But listen, there's so much more than just providing an income and taking care of your family by financially or protecting them. It's showing them the Lord in your life, showing that you, when you do make mistakes, that you ask God to forgive you and ask them to forgive you when we make mistakes. It's growing in the Lord together. In this journey we call life, it's that walk that we have. Our families need to see us walking with God. And fathers, the reason they need to see us walking with God is because, you know what? You're modeling Christ before them. Do you understand that there's roles, there are biblical roles of men and women in this instruction book? It is equal. Everybody sitting here, doesn't matter what gender you are, you're equal before God, but there are different roles here. Our roles are getting all mixed up in this world today. Where do we go back? We go back to the Scripture that tells us. And men, you know what your greatest role is? You're modeling Christ before your family. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, it's speaking of the men and women's roles that we just talked about. It says here that He is the image and glory of God. Wow. Are you the image and glory of God in your house? Our primary role is to be an example to our family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, don't ever think that religion is something that, or spirituality is primarily for women. It's not. It's for men to be leaders, to be role models, to be out front spiritually for their family. God, I want you to please understand this. Men, listen to this. God puts a bigger responsibility on you this morning. Do you understand that? You will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account of how you led your home. Your wife won't, but you will. And here's the deal. And God made fearfully and wonderfully made each person in this room. And I know some people are not the same as others. But nobody has an excuse to say, you know, to put the things of God aside. Because I promise you, you're passionate about something. You're passionate about something. Whether it be, listen, we're counting down. It's getting close. I told Jeff, I said, I'm going to be feeding them deer next month. Can you believe it? It's July. He said, July, it's early. Now, y'all, you got to grow them biggins off. There you go, Corey. See, we're passionate about something. When it comes to softball team, man, my softball team will show up every night. Where were they at in revival? Oh, wait a minute. We got every excuse in the world. We're passionate about something. We'll teach our kids what we're passionate about. You can say, we got to love God. We got to go to church. They know what you're passionate about, though, if it's like, oh. We got to teach them, Dad. We got to show them by the walk that we have. The father who fears the Lord is a man of integrity. He's a man that says his word means something, and he lives it before his family. I like it's really the Psalms 1, man. If you think about it, all these Psalms are based off the man, the godly man, and the wicked man. And the Psalms 1, man, you know what he said? He delights. He meditates on God's word day and night. So what are you talking about? Listen, this is the key. If this is the instruction book, how much are you watching and reading the instructions? We've got to be men of the word. This is the whole key to it. Listen, we can't pull it up on YouTube. Now, I know today, come on, you younger guys, I'm one of them. Listen, I don't know how to do it. Let's pull it up on YouTube. Somebody show you how to do it. Guess what? You can't pull this up on YouTube. You got to get into it. You got to read it, the instructions. You got to know how it is when you face the things of life. Man, you get in God's word. He trusts the Father to have a faithful walk. He trusts the Lord in his walk, but also he trusts the Lord in your work. You say, what are you saying? Look what it says. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. The godly man finds his prosperity as a result of a heart for God. And the work of his hands. Listen, we know all about, and the mountains know for hard-working guys. Man, some of you guys, I've said this. You get up in the morning working, you go to bed at night working, especially hay time, right? You go to bed tired because you've worked all day, and it's great to be workers unto God. But listen, and we do this because we represent Him. We don't work for ourselves or to gain all these things that, like Barry was talking about this morning. But what we do is we gain this spiritual heritage, and work is a part of that. We work unto the Lord. We give Him the labor. He says, the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. There's nothing wrong with good, hard work. Can anybody say amen? Nothing wrong with hard working hard unto the Lord. And we should be thankful because there's many a man that can't do it that wishes that he could. We should never complain. Hard work is a given. It's an enjoying its fruit is a gracious gift from God. We should see our labor. We should see our work. We don't, you hear me say this time and time again, we don't compartmentalize our life with our job. That's unto the Lord too. Unto the Lord. Whatever your work is, whatever it might be, whether it's on third shift without much sleep, we work unto the Lord. Whatever you do, whether it's at the school working, whether it's out in the field working, whether it's, hey, wherever you find your place, we do it unto the Lord. That is what God has given us, and we don't separate God from our work. We don't have shop talk. We don't look at things when we're at work because that's what the world does. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ every day unto Him. I'll never forget. After I got saved, now you got to remember, I was a heathen with these guys at Dana Corporation. I was telling CNC machinists, what is that? Computer numerical control machines that we turned all these lathes, and I had this group of guys under me, right? I was the lead man. And what I got done is probably fighting more fires with guys that were working hard to get out of work than they were to work. That's America today. And so it was constantly, and so you know what? I told them we had this allotment that we ran on the tube line. It's what it was called. I'll never forget. It's the tubes that go in the F-450s and 350 Fords. That's the reason Fords are so good, Sam, because I run the tubes in them, okay? I'm sorry, I'm a Chevrolet guy. Listen. They'd get mad. You know what they call me? Company guy. You company guy. I said, guys, we got this quota. I said, if we get this quota and we worked, listen, 7 to 3, right? We had lunchtime, 7 to 3, and if they got the quota at 2 o'clock, we quit and we cleaned up. Guess what? If they didn't get that quota, we ran up to time to quit. Why? That was what we were supposed to get. That's what we're supposed to run. I couldn't make them understand. I said, if you'll work hard, we'll get this. We'll take it easy at the end. You guys can wind down. You can clean up. We go home, and we can say praise unto the Lord. But if we don't get that, this, I said, you're a company man. I said, no, I'm a God man. I said, I want you to know something. I appreciate Dana Corporation, but I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my boss. And I got to go home at night and lay down and say unto the Lord this evening, if we'll approach our job that way, listen, it'll make a difference in us. Guys, trust the Lord in your walk. Trust the Lord in your work. Work unto Him. Hey, think about Genesis, people. Well, that's just a curse. Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow, right, you'll eat the bread. Well, work is just a curse. Listen, we're going to be working in eternity. Does anybody hear it right now? So when you ask, well, that preacher told me that, I'll say, told you so. It ain't like we're sitting around playing some harp. Is that heaven to you? I hope not. Work, yes, it was a curse by the sweat of the brow, but listen, we see that it's turned into a blessing in 128, Psalms 128, too. The curse, sweat of the brow is turned into a blessing, Psalm 28. For the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will eat the labor of his hand. In fact, my scripture said a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. We've created an environment of give me a handout, have we not? There's nothing wrong with helping people in need. But we don't teach our kids to be lazy and want a handout. We teach them, Dad, they find that from you. Fathers, man, have a faithful walk. But listen next. Fathers, be committed to those you love, verses 3 and 4. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. First, be a blessing to your wife. Be a blessing to your wife. What does it say? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Because the man walks with God, his wife flourishes. He's the leader. He sets her free to soar within the home. She's fruitful. You know what these vines that they talked about in the old time in Jerusalem? If you had the grapevines or you had the olive trees, those were ways of prosperity. That was the way that you earned your living. That was the way that you passed down these things. And here we see the fruitful vine of the wife that's in the home. And she's soaring. Why? Because her husband is the godly leader. And she becomes that which God's called her to do right here in the midst of her home. She's located in the center of it. And she's cared for. You know one thing about a vine? It has to be cultivated, don't it? It has to be propped up. Everybody knows what a grapevine. You just don't lay it across the ground, do you? You cultivate it and you prop it up so that it gives its fruit. And so she needs to be propped up, guys. Be a godly man. You say, well, that I don't know how that looks. That's because you're not in the manual. Read your instruction book. Don't listen to what the world says a real man is. Who cares? Like Barry said, what profit to the man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Who cares what the world thinks about you? What does God think? It needs support. Together, seek to educate and encourage your children. And later, we'll see the grandchildren here. And think about it, guys. If your children grow up to be godly and love the Lord and serve the Lord, how much prosperous can you be? Not only will you be a blessing to your wife, but be a blessing to your children, verse 4. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Just like the vine, the olive plants need to be cared for and cultivated. And in the Middle East, these olive trees would be a source of productivity, man. It'd be a way that they found this perpetual way of living and taking care and food and nourishment and all this. And we see this. It says, man, it says, how can we think about that? How can we bless our children? We can bless them by loving Jesus and teaching them to love Him too. We can bless them by loving their mother till death do us part. We teach them and we represent Jesus Christ every day. And I know Ephesians 6:4 says, "Dads don't, fathers don't provoke your children to wrath." And what does that mean? To exasperate or to frustrate them or to badger them or to wound them or humiliate them. That's not our place. And I love Josh McDowell made this statement. He says, "Rules without relationship makes rebellion." We teach them these things. We don't hound it in them and then live contrary. The greatest example they can see is you out front doing what it is that you're telling them to do. If you're not doing it, how dare you tell them to do it? Because they're going to follow in your footsteps, Dad. They're going to follow what you do. When I grew up, and my mom took us to church, these little churches, and all, I didn't really, it wasn't a Christian home, it was a cult, is what it was. But I thought, you know, when I got old, my dad never went to church. Guess what? I turned 16, what I did? I didn't go to church. Why? I followed his example. Didn't matter how much you tell me to go. You can tell them to go all you want. Lead them to go. Lead them to make it important. Because they'll follow your example. Olive trees flourish in a home with a godly dad and mom and that are committed to each other and to the Lord. The greatest thing, they can learn more love in your relationship with Christ and your love for your wife, your spouse. They can learn more about love in that environment than any other environment. Don't let the world teach them what love is. Fathers, be committed to those you love. And lastly, fathers, be concerned about with where you live. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. The blessed life must be a life that reaches out to extend and share blessings of God to others. We should be not only concerned with our city and our nation, but I want you to see he's concerned with his children and his grandchildren. It's all a big package. I don't know about you, but since these elections and all these things, I'm not even watching the news very much because I don't know what I'm getting to be the truth, to tell you the truth. But that doesn't mean that I'm not obligated. The Scripture tells me to pray for America, to pray and be my part as a godly man, being a real man, to make a difference in my nation and in my community. He's calling him to do this. What is first he does? He takes an interest in your nation. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmist prays for what? The peace, the shalom of his nation. The peace of Jerusalem. You see that time and time again. Do you pay for the peace of America? How's that going to look? There's only one thing that can change America. That's the gospel. That's it. Doesn't matter where you fall in or what you think will change America. It's the gospel. It's the church. It's you being the men God's called you to be, living it out in home. It's us. How many people could say amen that God's brought us a bunch of children to this church? Huh? It's us teaching them. Man, I have this huge weight because why? I want to reach them. I want to grow them to know Christ. I want them to do church a lot better than I've done it. I want them to see that there's a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus, and that's the only thing that'll change their world. Not the career that we force them down. Not trying to make them live out through the sports that we have them play, but teaching them that God is the thing. He's the answer for this country. He's the answer for your life. Son, you want to be a great man? Be a God man. Be a God man. Take an interest in your nation. We should pray for our nation and our leaders. We see that 1 Timothy 2 tells us to do that. We should be active in what? Promoting righteousness and modeling these policies and blessing God, being a blessing to God through our land and being proactive and making a stand on what we believe in. I truly believe that one of the reasons why God is blessing us right here is that we make a stand right here in Todd. Against the world that's around us. You realize that there's all kinds of liberalism around us right here that loves, that wants to just befriend us and go arm in arm and say, "Let's sing Kumbaya and make America great again." That ain't how you do it. You stand upon the principles of God. And you know what? The hard thing as a pastor sometimes, because you want to make a difference in your community, to stand and say, "You know what? I can't be arm in arm in arm with you. I can't do these kind of things in the community, because when they see me, they say that I'm embracing the garbage that you're embracing that's not biblical." Not liberal, conservative. How about biblical and unbiblical? That's what it's come down to. Okay? It's not that we have these different agendas or we pull for this side or that side. It's biblical or unbiblical. If you're living unbiblically, I can't yoke up with you and say, let's go serve the community. And that's the day that we live in. And I believe God bless, the more that we make our stand on the right and the biblical, the more God blesses. And He will. Take an interest in your country, but also take an interest in your future. Look what it says. Yes, may you see your children's children. I don't know if I'm going to get to do that or not. Mine keeps on waiting to have kids. I can't even have grandbabies. I want a grandbaby. We had Titus last week. Man, I wooled him up. That was so fun, having a kid in the house. And you just turn them back because you know they're not going to be around, right? Because you think, man, the second group's got to be better than the first, right? No. That's why grandparents just love it, because they can spoil them and send them home to mom and daddy. But we see this here, though. Yes, yes, may you see the children's children. Grandfather and grandma, it's not your place to spoil them. It's your place to teach them about Jesus Christ, okay? Nothing wrong with loving them, but the greatest thing we can do as grandparents is teach them about Jesus. Teach them about the Lord. From marriage and being grandparents in just 6 verses. Guess what? I don't know about you, but that's how life goes. It's about that quick, ain't it? Now, many of you right here can say amen. I was just a young couple and we had kids, and look at me now. I'm a grandparent looking at great-grandkids. Life is that quick and that short. Time flies faster than we can ever possibly imagine. I just told somebody, look, we're halfway done with 2017. Get a hold of that this morning. It just started. Life is clipping it all for us. Listen, 3 generations are represented in this psalm alone. Children, mom and dad, children, grandchildren. I mean, it just clips off. The godly father is an influence to the future generations. Men, time is flying by, and we need to take the time to invest in the future of our families. Don't put it off when you know in your heart. And here's the deal. Everybody in here, if you have a relationship with the Lord, knows what's right. And again, you're passionate about something. Be passionate about Jesus Christ. Be passionate about Him. Love for Him. Oh, you can have all these other things, and we can do these things and enjoy them too, but we don't take God out of the equation. Teach our kids to make Christ the center of their life. That's what being a real man is this morning. Linda, come and play, and we'll do our applications. Listen, number one, do our children know that we trust the Lord? They know you're trusting something. Is it your strength? Is it your job, career? Is it your finances? Do our children know that we trust the Lord? Number two, are we committed to loving our family? Is that first and foremost? That we love our family. We're committed to them. Number three, are we praying for our nation? Wouldn't hurt, Dad. I tell you what's amazing to me. Asked this question last week between a pastor and his wife. Are you praying together? I think we would dare say right here in this room, and I'm not trying to convict anybody, the lack of mom and dad praying together at home. You know why you don't do that? It's the most awkward thing. You feel so awkward. You know why you feel awkward? It's Satan. There's power in prayer at home. Mom and dad, you need to pray together. If you don't pray together, what? Listen, that's the power. We talk about prayer and doing that, but listen, how many people really are praying together in this room? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to say, don't miss out on that. That's a great thing, husbands and wives, to pray for one another. Pray for your children. Let them hear you pray for your nation. Let's stand on our feet. Dad, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Come forward and get on this altar. Pray for your family. Pray for your nation. Pray for your loved ones. Just spend some time on this altar. Just a minute. Won't be long. Thank you. Ladies, what a tremendous group of men right here. I want you to pray for them. Why? The world, Satan would love to tear your family up, and he'll use your husband. He'll use anything that he can, and he would love to do that. This world is geared to make men trip. I want you to look right here and pray. I want us to go to the Lord right before we go to the Lord. I want us to look at this great group of men that's around this altar. I want you to bow your heads and let's pray unto the Lord. Father, God, I'm just so humbled by this group of men that are around this altar right here. God, we pray. We don't have the answers. We like to fix everything. You made us fixers. And God, the only way that anything could ever be fixed is for us to lay it right back in your hand. And so I'm praying for every father that's represented right here, every grandchild that's represented. There might be some that are wayward right now. I pray for that wayward child to come back home. I pray for every father. God, help us to be the godly men, first of all, the real men that you've called us to be, but also help us to be the godly husband and the godly fathers that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, because we have the manual, and many times we don't open the instruction book because we're like men. We think we can do it on our own, but we can't. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to be the men you've called us to be. Bless every man on this altar. May we be the leaders you've called us to be. You've called us to lead at home and in the church. And I'm so thankful for this great group of guys. Bless them for your glory. In Christ's name and all God's people said, amen, amen. You may return. For those that I've opened up the doors of the church that I've talked to about joining, if you'll come forward, please. Well now, we have right here Dwayne and Allie Taylor, and they have asked if they could become a part of our church. They'll be coming by letter from a sister church, and so I'm very excited about these two. And I met with them, and they gave what a great testimony that they had, and look forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do with them. What is the pleasure of the church? Amen, amen. All right. And now I'll tell you what, where's the little... We need to also, Maddie, we didn't ask to open the doors of the church for her. She came by baptism last week. Let's open the doors of the church to her also. What's the pleasure of church for Maddie as she received Christ through baptism? That's right. Amen. Come up here, honey. So glad and so thankful. Sorry, I forgot that last week. I got so excited about you getting baptized. But listen, God is doing a great work. Men, get on board. A lot of you are, but what is it that God has called us to do? To be the leaders of the home and be the leaders of the church for His glory. Lee, pray for us. We'll be dismissed.